We do love you, Rita, and this whole church. You've made it very, this has been an incredible God thing of a transition for us. You know, I said earlier, it's with some of the things that we've been through in the past, it's not often that Blenda and I have been able to have a conversation and say we really miss our church people when we're not there. And I hate to have to stand before you and say that, but we've been through some situations where, quite frankly, I'd just soon been gone. But it's not here. I mean, I took a week off while my family was here, and quite frankly, with us not having church again Wednesday because of the weather, it just seemed like forever. And we do love you. We love the church. And when I say that, you need to understand that we are the church, all of us together. We are the body of Christ. And we love being a part of that, and we certainly love being a part of that with you. I thought I had a lot of things kind of mapped out in my mind starting off this new year. God kind of gave me an idea and a plan, and I'm going to stick with that plan. But this has been one of those very strange weeks for me with sermon preparation, because I thought I had it all figured out. And God's been talking to me in my heart and mind for the last few weeks, actually, is through the Advent season and kind of leading up to the new year. How do we start off the new year together as a church? And the series title that you see up there, this journey of following Jesus, I felt like God really, really impressed on my heart to invite us, to encourage us to go on a journey together this year. And that's still what we're going to do. I can't tell you how long this series is going to last, because quite frankly, everything we do in our life as Christians should be about following the journey and being on the journey with Christ. I had a neat little sermon outline already prepared, a sermon that I've preached several times before, and then I went to church last week as a spectator, so to speak, which I don't get to do very often. And Emily and I were the only ones that were able to go, but we went to the church, and I sat there in the worship service. And of course, being a pastor, I did some evaluation. Doesn't seem like I can ever go to a church service somewhere else and not evaluate something. I think in my mind about how I would do that if it were me, or how I need to change and do something different. And during the kind of intro to this gentleman's sermon, here's what he said, something to this effect. He said, "Very seldom, I've made it a habit, very seldom do I ever underline or mark anything in any book that I read, especially my Bible." And he said, "Here's why. If I underline that, when I read it today, and I come back a year later and I see that underlined mark, I'm automatically going to go back to my original train of thought." He said, "I don't want to go back to my original train of thought. God has shown me." He said, If I look at it the same way every time, I never learn anything new." So, the sermon outline that I started off with, we're still preaching from the same text, same general idea, but it's not anywhere close to the sermon that I had written before. The outline's on the screen, it's in your bulletin, and we're going to do our best to kind of follow along with that, but I just want to talk to you from my heart today. Starting off this series, we're going to be talking about what it means to venture into deeper waters. And the scripture's found in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to start kind of backwards. I'm going to start at the end. and then work our way back through what happens in this passage of Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 5, the last part of verse 10 and then verse 11. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. They brought their boats to the shore. They left everything and followed him. Now that's an incredible testimony. That's an incredible place for us as Christians and as believers to come to in our lives. But the question is, how did they get to that point? What happened in the previous verses that bring us to the point in this story where Simon and Andrew and these other fishermen are so impressed with what they've seen and heard that they brought their boats to shore, they parked them on the beach, left everything behind, and started following Jesus? Well, we're going to look at that. A lot's happened in the last 2 weeks since Jesus was born. You got to understand that, okay? He's already full grown. He's been through the dedication process. He's been through the circumcision. He's been presented in the temple. He's been through his childhood. And all of a sudden, you know, we're just 2 weeks out of Christmas and the birth of Christ. But here we are with Jesus in this story. His influence and popularity is on the rise. He's generating great crowds everywhere he goes. He still goes and spends time in the temple on the Sabbath day, which was the custom, but it didn't end there for Jesus. So many times in our Christian culture today, the way that we are conditioned, we come to church on a Sunday morning, and some churches still have church on Sunday evenings, and then we do our Wednesday evening things. But in our Christian culture, it is so easy for us to get drawn into this idea that one Sunday morning service together is enough to last us through the whole week, and we can just go from Sunday to Sunday, going through the motions, doing what we always do, and still be a follower of Jesus. Jesus, his influence, his teaching, his preaching did not stop when he left the temple. It continued each and every day. You say, how in the world do you know that his influence was increasing so much? Well, now we're going to go back and kind of start at the beginning of the chapter. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret." Now, stay with me here. This confused me for a while. Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. It's all the same body of water. It's different names. People, different writers call it different names, but we're at the Sea of Galilee. The crowd is so great, and the following has gotten so big now that they're pressing in on Jesus as he was teaching, and he needed to do something to create some space. He needed to do something to give himself some room and just a little bit of separation from the crowd. So as he's walking along the beach, and the crowd keeps pressing in and keeps crowding him, they're getting into his, well, my kids call it their bubble. You know things are about to erupt at home when one of the girls looks at the other and says, "You're in my bubble." We're getting all up in their face, all up in their safe space, and that's kind of what was happening with Jesus. So it says that as he's walking along and he's teaching, he sees two boats. Verse 2 says he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats which belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. So then he sat down in the boat and he continued teaching the crowds. Now stop and think about it for just a minute. He's teaching the crowd. He's teaching the masses. He's having church on the beach. who's the captive audience here? Peter's the owner of the boat. Peter's in the boat with Jesus. Peter had been up on the beach washing the nets after fishing all night long. But when Jesus asked him to a little bit, Simon gets in the boat. Simon Peter gets in the boat with him, and they're kind of sitting there. So Simon's hearing everything Jesus is saying to the rest of the crowd. It doesn't say what Jesus told them. But it says he finished his sermon. And I think there's an interesting transition here. When he finished teaching the crowd, he didn't turn around and look at Peter and say, okay, we can go back to shore, let me out now. Jesus took advantage of an opportunity and he began to teach Peter on a personal level. I want you to understand this. At some point in our own lives, the message, the word, the lesson has to become personal to us. We can go to church all our lives. We can sit in a congregation just like this. We can sit in a congregation of 10 or 20 or 50 or 50,000. It doesn't matter. We can go to church every Sunday. We can go to church every time the doors are open, as the saying used to be, and still be as lost can be if there never comes a time in my life where the message and the truth becomes personal for me. I'm still just as lost as I've ever been. Jesus makes it personal for Peter. Look what he says. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for the catch. Now, here's the outline if you're following along on this first part of this sermon. I want to talk to you about some symbolism that we find here. There's a section here that I call shallow water. You'll notice that's the first part of your outline on point one. It says, push out into the deeper water. Now, if we push out into something, it means we're pushing away from something else. It means I'm leaving something behind. So far, they've been in the shallow water. When Jesus got in the boat, he asked Peter, he said, push out just a little way, just a little way from the shore. How many of you have ever gone swimming in a lake? Most of us, right? Unless you're swimming in what some of the old rock quarries and some of the old strip mining pits where I grew up, there's almost always just a gradual slope. You can usually walk in the edge of the lake and kind of gradually work your way out before it gets deep. They were in the shallow water. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about what shallow water represents. It represents the status quo. Shallow water represents comfort. And when we're teaching our children how to swim, or when we're taking them swimming very early in their lives, maybe before they know how to swim, what's one of the first things we make sure we do? Don't go into the deep water by yourself. Stay in the shallow end of the pool where you can touch, where you can walk. Why? Because it's safer there. The shallow end represents safety. It represents comfort. It represents maybe contentment. All right, I'm saved. I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm all right. The pastor I listened to last week preached in his sermon. He said, you know, sometimes we just want to put things on cruise control. We're Christians. We're believers. We're not living in out and out known sin and violation of what God says, but we just got it on cruise control. The shallow end. The shallow water represents being able to predict. It's predictable. It's controlled. As long as I stay where it's not too deep, I can control what happens. I don't want to get too radical. I don't think we're in too much danger of that in the church today, to tell you the truth. We don't want to get too radical. Just stay here on the shallow part. Pastor, you're doing a good job. Just keep preaching this easy stuff and we'll be all right. That's not what God wants for us. See, shallow water represents a word that I want you to let it stick in your head this morning. Shallow water represents the ordinary. Staying in the shallow water represents the ordinary. So now, life's easy. Everything's going smoothly. She's got it on cruise control. Life is predictable. I can control everything from right here where I am. Life's good. Then Jesus comes along. Push out into the deep water. Push out into the deep water. We've put all three of our kids through swimming lessons at the local pools and city parks and rec department. And they've all had to kind of go through the same process. They've all taught it a little differently, but they've all had to kind of go through that same process of building up to the point where they can go out into the deeper water. Jesus tells Simon, push out into the deeper water. You think, well, now he's just telling him to go out in the deeper water. Yes, this is a literal story. I believe Jesus actually did tell Peter to go out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch. But there's a much more important symbolic meaning behind all of this. I just told you what the shallow water represents. So let's think about the deep water. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes everything that's exactly opposite of the shallow water. Where shallow water represents the status quo, deep water means we're going to have to change something. Where shallow water represents comfort and safety, deep water sometimes makes us more uncomfortable. Shallow water represents safety and predictability. Control. You don't have as much control in the deeper water. A lot of things can happen. I'm told in the study that I've done on this that the Sea of Galilee reaches up to a depth of 150 feet. Portions of that sea or lake are 150 feet deep. And Jesus is telling Peter, go out into the deeper water. Now, you got to understand, this isn't something new for them. You say, well, a fisherman should be used to that. Fishermen were used to that, but they were also very aware of the storms that come up. How many times in Scripture do we find where the disciples were out on a boat in the middle of a storm and they were afraid for their lives? So even though Simon is very familiar with the lake and he's very familiar with where all the deep holes are for fishing, there's always that danger because you can't control things nearly as well when you're in deep water. He says, go let down your nets for catch in the deeper water. I want you to look at what John Wesley, listen to what John Wesley says, what I take the spiritual meaning of deeper water to be this morning. It's true, Jesus will be back in the synagogue once again, but the time is coming when the door of the synagogue will be shut to him and his church will be the lakeside, the open road, and his pulpit will be a boat. John Wesley said, our societies, as they called them, or churches and gatherings that we would call them now, our societies were formed from those who were wandering upon the dark mountains that belonged to no Christian church, but were awakened by the preaching of the Methodists, who had, listen to this, who had pursued them through the wilderness of this world, to the highways and the hedges, to the markets and the fairs, to the hills and the dales, who set up the standard of the cross in the streets and lanes of the cities, in villages, in barns, in farmers' kitchens. And all this was done in such a way and to such an extent as has never been done before since the apostolic age. I love a commodious room, said Wesley, a soft cushion and a handsome pulpit, but field preaching saves souls. Why did Jesus tell Peter to push out into deeper water? Because sometimes if we're going to fulfill the calling that God has placed on our lives as Christians and as bodies and members of the body of Christ and members of the church, we have to push out into deeper waters, to the uncomfortable, to the unpredictable, to the uncontrollable, to those people that we don't know exactly how they're going to react, to those people who are so lost they might not even know who God or Jesus is. But that's the deeper water that Jesus called us to go out into. It's easy. It's comfortable to stay in the church or stay close to the church. It's easy and comfortable to just continue to intermingle with those people that we already know and maybe some of those people who used to come to church and different things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. What Jesus is trying to tell Simon Peter when he says, go out into the deeper water, is this: I have so much more for you that you've not even scratched the surface of yet, because we are so content to stay on the shallow end of the pool. Jesus is telling us, expand your horizons, go deeper, deeper water. Push out into the deep and let down your nets. That's the next symbol. Let down your nets for a catch. Well, come on. Simon and his cohorts, they're professional fishermen. They know exactly what that means. But Jesus is there during the daylight hours. I don't know what time of day it is, but he's there during the daylight hours when fishing is not something that you normally do. They would not be out on the sea fishing during the day. They fish at night. And they come in during the day and they take that time to wash and mend and repair their nets and get ready and then get some rest before they go back out later that night. Let down your nets. How many of you are fishermen? How many of you like to fish? I used to drive my dad crazy when I was a kid. You know why? Because I'd throw that hook out in the water, and if I didn't have a bite within about 30 seconds, I was pulling it back in and I was putting it back out again. My dad said, you're never going to catch anything if you don't leave your hook in the water. Simon and his buddies would never catch anything if they didn't let down the nets. They had to throw the nets out before they were going to catch something. So Jesus is using all of this very literal, real-life instructions and illustration to teach Peter a very important spiritual lesson. Let down your nets for a catch. I love this conversation. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and we've not caught anything. But if you say so, I'll let down the net. We're ready to move on to our point number two. We're talking about deeper water. What do we have to have? What kind of spirit do we need? What kind of attitude do I have to have in order to go out into this deeper water that Jesus talks about? I would say there's a spirit of obedience, even submission. There's a spirit of obedience or even submission. I want you to catch that verse that we just read. Look how he starts it off, verse 5. Master, Simon replied. That tells me Simon Peter recognized something about Jesus, whether it be through his preaching and his teaching or his life, everything that he's witnessed up until then, or all of those things combined. Peter has seen and witnessed something about Jesus that makes him realize that there is an air of authority and power about Jesus that is unusual and unmatched in any other person he's ever met. He calls him Master. We've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, how many of us have ever said that? How many of us have ever said that to our parents? How many of us have ever said that to a boss or a supervisor? Look, I've tried this and it didn't work, but if you tell me to do it again, I'll do it again because you're the boss. But if you say so, Master, I'll give it another shot. I'll give it the good old college try. If you say so, I'll do it. A spirit of submission, even obedience to Jesus. You see, I have to come to a point in my life, if I'm going to go into a deeper relationship with Christ, I have to come to a point in my life where I take my hands off and I say, look, you're the master. You're in charge. I surrender to you. I submit my life to you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. In the back of my mind, I might be thinking there is no way on God's green earth this is ever going to work. But because Jesus said, I'll do it. If we want to experience a deeper relationship, that has to be the spirit and attitude of our hearts and lives. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Second thing is this, we have to have a spirit that's willing to make an effort. Our spirit and attitude needs to be, I'll make an effort. I might be tired. I might be exhausted. I might be totally wiped out from working all night the night before, and now I've been up here washing and cleaning all these nets. But because Jesus told me to, even though I'm tired, even though I'm worn out, even though I'm hungry, and quite frankly, my attitude right now is I don't care if I catch any fish. I just want to go take a nap. But I'm willing to make an effort. I wonder how many times we've experienced failure, not reached the level of our potential because we gave up just one try too soon. Look what happens. We have to have a spirit that's willing to attempt what seems hopeless. Peter's already told him, we've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. Jesus, I don't know if you know how this works. Can you just see this from Peter? Got to remember who we're talking about. It's Peter. And I can just see this. I'm picturing this in my mind. And Jesus, I'm not sure you know how this works. We don't fish during the day. It's too hot. It seemed hopeless. And then we have to have a spirit of faith that overcomes fear. In verse 10, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times does Jesus come to us and say, don't be afraid? When we're in the midst of uncertainty, when we're in the midst of something that we don't have any idea what the outcome is going to be like, don't be afraid. When we're in the middle of a situation that's completely out of our control, don't be afraid. We want to go deeper in our spiritual relationship. If we want to stay on this journey, we have to have a spirit of faith that overcomes our fear. Well, what are the results of going deeper? What happens if we demonstrate all these things? What are the results of going deeper? Number one, if we're obedient and do what Christ tells us to do. Now listen, I'll explain this, but here's the deal. One of the results of going deeper with Christ is an overwhelming blessing. Overwhelming blessing. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching name it, claim it. I'm going to give you an example, proof from right here in this scripture of exactly what I'm talking about. When they did this, speaking of letting down the nets, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Overwhelming blessing. overwhelming blessing. And what do I mean by overwhelming? I mean something that they were not able to handle, something that they never even dreamed of. John Wesley describes it this way. They were unable to handle the situation, so they beckoned to their partners to come and help them. You ever been out there fishing and all of a sudden you just latched onto something so big and it was like, whoa. I don't know about this. This is going to take a while. Well, think about this. Peter goes back out there thinking nothing's going to happen. I'm going to prove Jesus wrong. I'm going to prove to him I was right. Probably the reason he didn't take any help with him. He didn't take his partner with him to begin with. He had Jesus in the boat. They go out. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to show you. We don't catch fish during the day. Look what happened. It took both boats and all their partners, all their business partners, all their helpers to get all those fish back to shore. Overwhelming blessing when we're obedient and when we decide to go deeper with Christ. I'm not saying it's always going to be financial. I'm not saying it's always going to be material. But if you'll be obedient to Christ and determined you're going to go deeper in your relationship with Him, I can promise you this, that He will be faithful to bless you beyond your imagination in some way, form, or fashion. Another result of going deeper with Christ is developing a humbling perspective. A humbling perspective. See, what in the world are you talking about? We're talking about verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." If we're going to go deeper with Christ, it's going to mean we determine and we develop. See, it's kind of a catch-22 kind of thing. Because in order to go deeper with Christ, we have to have that humble perspective. But going deeper with Christ brings us into even more of those situations. There's not a day that goes by. There's not a day that goes by in my life that at some point I'm not reminded of the grace of God and His forgiveness and His Spirit at work within me. There's not a day that goes by that at some point I don't feel like Peter. And I say, "God, I'm not worthy." And it's not always just because I'm naturally that humble. It's never because I'm naturally that humble. It's usually because something happens and I realize my inadequacies and my imperfections. And I say I'm not worthy. A humbling perspective. But then there's also something else that comes out of the journey. Going into a deeper relationship, and that's a renewed purpose. If we go deeper with Christ, and if we determine that we want to push out into deeper waters spiritually, God will show us that renewed purpose. Look what He tells Peter. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Isn't it amazing how Jesus takes who we already are? How Jesus works through all those situations in our lives that make us who we are. Peter was already a fisherman. And Jesus worked through that to teach Peter a lesson of what it means to catch people instead of fish. Listen to me. Can I just tell you something this morning? No matter what your profession is, no matter what grade you are in school, no matter what your future plans are, no matter what you become in life, Jesus will be able to use you within those parameters to be a fisher of men. The trick is, the catch is, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to do what we need to do in order to go into the deeper water. So here's my question. Are we ready to follow Jesus on this journey? Will you join me this year in 2018? Will you join me in going on a journey that takes us deeper than we've ever been before? We're going to look over the next who knows how long, several weeks, maybe even months, from a different perspective on what it means to follow Jesus. Where that takes us, what it looks like, what the cost, what's the price, what's the sacrifice, what are the benefits? And I believe with all my heart that's what Jesus is calling us to do. That's where Jesus wants the Shipshawana Church of the Nazarene to be. He wants us to be on a journey with Him. And I don't know about you, but if we'll all get on board, I'm excited to see where that journey takes us. I'm excited to see what God can do in us and through us as individuals and as the body of Christ as we enter this new year. Will you join me? Where's that number? I've decided to follow Jesus. Can we play that and sing it before we leave? I know it's in our hymnal somewhere. 468. 468. Would you turn there with me?